The following episode of Footy Prime the Podcast contains violence, coarse language, talking of shite, full frontal nudity, and adult scenes. Listener discretion is advised.
Oh, let's go!
Booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started.
Booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor,
Andy, Jim, and JC.
All we know and all we talk about is
booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started tonight.
Oh, it's off Wonger.
Yeah. If there was I want Gianni and Gianni Infantino, correct?
Get it right.
Yeah,
man.
Get his name.
Be
before you start eating sushi off his naked body, get his name right.
Off his head. Can you imagine? Just like six sushi rolls on his head and I get to eat them off? This is why they're inviting us.
Based on how he behaves, I'm not sure he can fit six sushi rolls on his head.
Hey, Footy Prime audience. Did you know that Wonga's going to the World Cup draw? Have you heard?
You will.
He's
do.
Like a vegan, isn't he? He's a bit like a vegan. How do you know Wonga's going to the World Cup draw? Because he'll fucking tell you within the first 5 seconds of talking to him.
Fair.
Hey, Asa's here. Hey, Asa. Guess what? Asa's going somewhere as well, aren't you, Asa?
Yeah, we'll be calling the MLS Cup final in Fort Lauderdale at Chase Stadium. So pretty excited about that. Usually calling these away games off of monitors. So, really looking forward to calling this one live in person for this cup final. Should be a great event and can't wait for a Whitecaps win one more to close out the season.
Good for you.
Back. Yeah.
No, Colin's still in Mexico. Having the best time.
So is he missing the game?
It's going to be me and Dolly. Yeah, on the call. So, it should be great. And, called the last match with Dolly. So, he gets to stick around. Now did a great job, and that was a fun one to call as well against San Diego. A great win, and I believe in this team for so many reasons, and honestly believe that they'll come out on top against Miami on Saturday.
Just a little promo for Asa. I was watching the game, and I didn't enjoy the Apple commentators at the time. I'm not saying though, but I turned on CKNW. And streamed it live on Talk FM in out of Vancouver. Is it out of Vancouver?
CK. Yes, it is. Yes,
yeah. Right. And whose voices were there? Were Asa's and Dolly's. So is that going to happen again? Is that who you're streaming live for? Or is it a little bit of what I would do is stream live. Like your reaction to the game streaming live. We're going to have to
do a live stream.
Stuff. Yeah.
Well, the best news of the week is that we're getting to go there to travel and call it live on site, which is always the best way to do it. The extra bit of news is that the whole presentation of the match has been sold as well to his sponsors. So that's obviously a good sign as well for footy fans and people that just want more investment in the game. So that's great. Obviously the eyeballs and the ears are there on the product and it's sold and should be a fun match. So we're doing a lot of content leading up to it. And I'll let them know, Wonger, when you started that and you started saying like, oh, it was great to flick it on and hear you on the call. I was expecting notes. Like I totally expected you to just be like, oh yeah, I flicked it on. Here's what you should do next time. And you did. So thank you for doing that. So I'll work on pushing for a live stream. Yeah. It was,
but Asa,
it wasn't you just great to hear you. It was, here's what you need to do next time.
Yes. Thank you.
Right. Notes. Asa, you had started though, once the Whitecaps entered the playoffs, doing a more robust pregame, had you not?
We did. Yes. We did a live stream pregame, and that was, just kind of a test run to see what sort of interest and audience there would be for that, because the pregame for that day was half hour before kickoff, and we did a little pregame leading up to it, and I think it worked out well. Takes a little bit more resources to kind of put that thing together, but yeah, I'll push for that because that's good for the listening audience as well, and kind of driving people to CKNW. And it was fun, to have guests on that. I think we have Max Bredos on that live stream as well. And that might be the way to get Kaylin Kyle on our pregame, because she's been a regular and a good luck charm for the Vancouver Whitecaps. A lot of fans looking forward to hearing her on our pregame show, but she has other commitments, obviously leading up to this MLS Cup final. Yeah. So we got to figure something out to make sure that she's a part of our pregame show.
Did your sandwich board travel with you? Are you still going to be doing that outside the stadium?
Yeah.
Or is that strictly a Vancouver thing to like pack the place?
Yeah, okay, I might have to appoint someone else. Hmm. I might have to to leave that with somebody else.
Are you a bit nervous though, Asa? Obviously, you've been doing the games all year with Colin, and in comes Doly. Now, Doly's a pro, he's great. You've done it with him before. I know that, right? But it's like getting a new strike partner for the World Cup final, and you haven't quite got that synergy just yet. Is it good? Are you on the same page, or is it a little bit rusty as well?
No, it was good. Honestly, called games with Doly before. But you're right. Like the flow of the game is definitely different with everyone that you'd work with in a commentary basis. But with Doly, there's a good understanding about like what I'm trying to tell or how I want to paint the picture for a certain scenario. And he chimes in perfectly. His analysis is so quick, concise, and to the point. He's very good. And I think after the first sort of 5 minutes of that last match against San Diego, kind of figured it all out. And it's really fun working with him. It's really interesting to kind of, I guess, work with different people and kind of get used to different styles of commentating.
So who do you prefer?
Ah, there it is. So the great thing about...
What a surprise. He's muted. Yeah.
Some sort of connection issue, I think, is what it was. Yeah.
That's great. So what's the cap schedule this week? They've been in training. Obviously, you were reporting yesterday. When are they heading down?
Yeah, I was at training on Tuesday. Going to check out training again Wednesday. They're going to leave after training on Wednesday. And that's a little bit earlier than they would for any other game. Usually traveling match day minus one, so the day before the game. But that'll allow them to get a couple sessions then in Florida and then be prepared for the game on Saturday. So different schedule for them. I'll be flying out on Friday and I won't get a chance to see any of the training sessions there, but definitely get at least a few hours to get feel for the land and where we'll be commentating from and everything.
I understand there's a bunch of ex-Whitecaps players being invited to go down, so you shouldn't have any problem with your pregame having some of the old lads around.
Oh, that's just it. And they've been great, you know, just hearing from different people who've been a part of this team, whether it was, the old NASL, Vancouver Whitecaps, the CSL, Vancouver 86ers. A lot of old players coming out, enjoying this run. And it's great because this team, and we've heard it from, not just Whitecaps fans, but you're hearing it from Apple TV commentators, and this is just such an enjoyable team to watch. Jimmy Brennan's on board now. It's a fun team though, right?
Relic, like you watch team. It. Relic's like, on board.
There's reason to fall in love with this team. And it's the same for the alumni and everybody, who's worn the crest and played for this team. It's just such an enjoyable team to watch right now. And so deep, right? The starting 11 looks great, but players coming off the bench have been incredible as well.
I get the sense that within the Vancouver fan, faithful, and the Canadian media, we're all kind of dismissing the fact that Miami is a pretty good team. And they have a bunch of players who will go down as some of the greats to ever play the game, one in particular. I know Vancouver beat them twice this year, handily. But are people discounting Miami? They're still the massive favorites to win this thing.
Yeah, they're favorites. I think partially favorites as well because they're at home. And I think that is something worth noting and considering here. And then you talked about the reasons why they're better than when they faced them before. I don't think it's because of the big names and Lionel Messi in particular. It's because of the supporting cast, Civetti and Allende in particular. Like, that's the difference. And they are way more dynamic going forward. I mean, it's no secret that like Luis Suarez's best days are behind him. So he was definitely a weakness the last time these two teams faced each other. They just didn't have the movement up top that they would have liked. And that's the biggest difference right now. When you watch him, when you see him against New York last week, it was the runs up front, the quick play as well, because that run is being made over the top and in behind. So that's one thing to keep an eye on, obviously, going into this game. But if you're a Whitecaps supporter, you're looking at the back four again, and you look at the defensive options, and you're like, well, that hasn't really changed. The Whitecaps should be able to control play still, dictate play, and create chances, and then it's going to be up to Brian White, Ali Ahmed, Emmanuel Sabi, Thomas Muller to finish those opportunities. I think you guys talked about this already this week, but I expect this game to be pretty open. Goals will be scored, which is always fun for a commentator, of course.
Speaking of that back line, Asa, what do you think Sorensen does with the personnel available to him?
That's a great question, Dubs, because he's got so many
options. No one else is thinking
Yeah, congratulations.
Who's hurt? Really hurt? Who's going to play?
Top three obvious questions to ask, really.
Defender of the Year, Blackman, I believe he gets right back into that lineup for leadership, ability. Like, he gives him absolutely everything as one of the two center backs. Ralph Priso has been so good, and I think that in the past matchups, the playoff games in particular, you knew that the game was going to be played on the floor. He's quick. He can run with absolutely everyone. And I think that that setup suited him well. When I'm watching back the Miami match against New York, there were those early balls over the top. And I wonder how that'll be handled. Like, he's really fast at tracking back and kind of reading that stuff. So I anticipate he'll be there again. Eddie Ocampo, obviously, on the right side. I think you go with Laborda on the left, but it'll be interesting to see.
Hey, Jimmy, I think I've asked this question before, but is it harder for a left back to move into center half or vice versa?
I think it's easier for a left back to go in and play center back than it is asking a center back to step out into a left back position. That's for sure. I mean, part of that reason is because normally your center backs are quite big, aren't they? You know, 6'2", 6'3". Good size and great in the air, but the last thing they want to do is play a left back or a right back position and start chasing wingers. So it's easy for a fullback to go inside.
And Craig, as a goalkeeper, how many games do you have to have full trust of your center backs? If they're chopping and changing and you're putting a fullback, you know, a center back, as a goalkeeper, is it a big adjustment?
Yes and no. I mean, they're going to be well rehearsed and have trained with each other so many times that slotting in another player here and there is not really an issue. You know their nuances and what they're good at, maybe their weaknesses if they're a little bit slower. But generally speaking, I don't think that's an issue. Unless it's like you're completely blind and you're coming in with a completely different group of players you've never played with before, but that's not the case.
Mm-hmm. Asa, so I know you were commenting on training yesterday how fresh Ryan Gold looked.
Yeah.
How he was electric, and he looked really good as well, I thought, when he came on.
Looked really good. I do want to mention one thing about, defensively and Yohei Takaoka in particular, Craig, one thing I've noticed this season in particular, but especially in the last month or two, is his command in the back and his ability to kind of vocalize and just lead from the back, I think, has also stood out to me. So I think that has helped and maybe gets overlooked a little bit when it comes to, the center back and the back four in particular. It seems like Yohei Takaoka has them really organized. So that's been great to see as well at training and then in games. And then when it comes to Ryan Gault, he's been, I guess, the X factor for the Caps throughout these playoffs in particular, because they haven't had to start him. I think if they needed to, if they really wanted to, they could start him. But this recipe's worked out so well so far, because you have Sabi and Ali flying. Thomas Muller obviously doing everything that he does everywhere on the pitch. Brian White now leading the line. You're able to bring on Ryan Gold off the bench, and that has to be terrifying for defenders. And he nearly scored coming into that last game. He kind of rattles one off the post as Brian White created an opportunity. So that's, I imagine, is going to be the situation once again, where you have the super sub coming in and hopefully closing out the game after the Caps maybe get a couple early in this one.
If Gold was never hurt, right, wasn't injured this season, what would the 11 be?
That's a really good question, Charles.
Great questions.
So you have to
buy myself another 7 seconds. I don't know if Thomas Muller ends up coming. I mean, there's a good chance that he probably still does, but I do think the whole outlook of the team is so different. I mean, it's hard to say, because you would have, he'd be the one in the middle, I guess, leading the way the whole time. I think you'd still have this 4-2-3-1 setup, and he'd be in that Thomas Muller spot. I guess, yeah, to Jesper's point, you bring in Thomas Muller, you find a way to get them both on the field anyway because they're great. But this group looks like it's a complete setup, and they all complement each other. The team actually feels like they've benefited from doing all the extra competitions. I know a lot of people talk about, you know, how can you manage all these different games, CONCACAF Champions Cup run, the Canadian Championship, and they went the distance in all of them. And I feel like it's almost like a video game, or like any gamers out there, I guess, who would have like the side quests. They've done all the side quests and picked up all the extra gear and armor. So you have like Kenji Cabrera, Thomas Muller. They've got absolutely every tool now to now use in this final, because they've had several players step up. We haven't even talked about recently JC Ngondo, Jeevan Badwal, all these different players that can give something different to this team. And they've benefited from picking up these extra competitions. So I think that's part of the reason why they're so good right now.
Hmm. Asa, if Sharms had never lost his job at Sportsnet, who do you think would be hosting Footy Prime?
It wouldn't be a
Footy Prime.
Oh, yeah,
trick question.
I wouldn't have met Wunger. It'd be also different and better.
What a weird question to ask. It led to a very good answer, though, so I like that.
Other than who might be playing if someone else had died in an airplane crash, I'm noticing a few things. One, if you're looking on YouTube, did Asa Rahman get a haircut knowing he was going to Miami? That's number one question.
I did. Yes, missed the press conference yesterday because booked the haircut at 2:00 and went to training. Gathered everything I needed to know. I trusted everybody to ask the best questions. And then we'll catch up on the post.
Okay, because I got a haircut knowing I was going to FIFA. But then I noticed Craig today, FIFA World Cup draw 2026. I noticed
I feel Craig, like, Wonga, that's got to be your bit when you go. Just like,
oh, it's just I've got a bit everywhere. I've got a big pink hat I'm going to wear. YMCA.
So much, by the way.
YMCA is going to be played. Craig, look how dark his beard is. Someone's been dabbling in the Just for Men.
Someone's wearing leather.
What are you trying to say?
You're going to be the leather guy, aren't you? You're going to be the big bear.
I put a little almond dip in it.
Nice.
That's only in their shared suite.
By the way, we'll get back to the Caps, but as you mentioned, I mean, we have to discuss this entertainment lineup.
I know.
The World Cup draw.
Yeah.
All right, so you got your Robbie Williams.
Mm-hmm.
It's 1998. Big deal. Not so much now, but I like Robbie Williams.
Yeah?
Yeah.
YMCA, I don't understand the relevance.
How did they get in there?
It's Donald Trump's song at all of his fucking rallies, guys.
Is that why?
Yes.
Yes.
No. Yes.
That's where he dances to, the double hand job. the double wank.
That's why they couldn't get anyone else.
Yeah, but you know what's funny is Andrea Bocelli is also singing.
That's brilliant,
consistent.
Trump has a dance for him too. Well, it's a forward hand job. For classical music. It's not on the side.
He's telling him what he's doing.
Thank you. Sure, you'd love to see that.
He's talking through it.
Thank God he's blind.
Yeah, Jesus, exactly.
Who else? And then there's Nicole Scherzinger, who was, what is she? A multi, what they call her? Multi
hyphenate.
What the hell's that?
I think because she's multi talented, so she's a number of titles. She's
multi hyphenate? Stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life.
I agree.
Can't just say you're good at shit.
Yeah.
The multi talented. That would be good, right?
That worked for years. It worked pretty good, didn't it?
Yep.
Anyway, what do you think about YMCA, Asa? You a fan?
Gosh, I don't know how they came up with the ones in there. And no one really current, right? Like,
no.
Seems
not just not current, but we're talking decades ago.
Yeah, that's right. Not like 5 or 10 years old. Yeah.
Even Heidi Klum.
Wheeling people out.
Yeah. And Kevin Hart, right? I guess Kevin Hart's probably the most current.
Yeah. He host the announcements last year, the FIFA. Oh, I forget what it was now.
No, it was just called the FIFA. So oh, the FIFA. You got it.
Didn't Kevin Hart host the FIFA last year?
He did.
He's funny. I like Kevin Hart.
Yeah, he'd be all right.
Hey, I read something very interesting today that They've already
sold Wales?
You did?
In Vancouver, they've already sold 16,000 tickets for the viewing party, and they reckon they're going to have more people in BC Place than they will in the MLS Cup final in Miami.
Oh, that's amazing.
Right. I think they'll get there.
It's like 18,000 and change?
21.
21, yeah.
I thought it was 18. Okay.
Has anyone been down there before?
No.
You? No, I've not
been there. As a matter of fact, now that you ask. It's a BMO feel, but just not quite as good.
Oh.
Which says a lot, right?
Yeah.
But can you talk about why you were there last? Because I know the story behind it. It was a birthday gift.
It was. Mm-hmm. My wife surprised me with tickets to see Inter Miami. My 50th
birthday. By himself. By himself.
No, she came as well. That's a joke over a year ago.
She didn't. She just sent you away. Charms in line at the beer line all by himself.
Yeah. No, just the one ticket. Just the one ticket.
I like the stadium. I like the crappy stadiums personally. You know, it's a good atmosphere. But the washroom, the concessions set up wasn't great. Maybe it's changed. But it's the last game there, right? Before they move to the real stadium next year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's going to be great. I think 1,500 traveling from Vancouver as well. So Whitecaps support is going to be there as
nice.
Well.
Nice. That's a good number.
And a lot of them booked those tickets right away. As soon as they found out that it's going to happen, I guess, Saturday night after the San Diego match. Michael McCall of AFTN was on our pregame, and he said that he would book his flight if they went up 3-0. And he said he stuck to his word, and at halftime, booked his flight.
Oh, that's cool.
Wow.
Brave.
Yeah.
Brave.
Yeah. No, it should be good scene atmosphere there.
Is Muller, is he healthy? I mean, not 100% clearly, but I mean, he's good enough. There's no concern about him starting?
No, I don't think so. I think it's kind of what we've seen for the last couple weeks where he seems to be dealing with something and not 100% seemed to have an effect in that last game against San Diego. But I anticipate that he'll start once again. That is another really interesting one, though, because the obvious switch there would be Ryan Gold for Thomas Muller in the starting 11 if they wanted to play that. I think, Jimmy, you mentioned this, was it last week going into it, whether or not you start Muller or Gold. And I agreed with you on that occasion where you start Muller if it's a hamstring or something goes, you're just using the one sub. You make that obvious switch whenever that happens. If you start Gold and then you make the switch later and something happens to Thomas Muller, you're forced into two. So I think that makes sense again going into this one.
Do you think the tactic too, Asa, is to start very, I mean, that was a dream start, obviously, against San Diego. They just absolutely overwhelmed them. And that's basically what they've done all year. Like, that's their style of play. So you imagine it's a similar tact versus Miami, even though it's the final. They just go at it exactly the same way, right?
I think so. I think this has worked so well for them at this stage. Why change anything, right? Like, they definitely want to have the ball. They want to build out the back and they want to isolate Ali Ahmed whenever they can. And that comes from a quick switch of play. Like, I heard someone ask, like, why didn't they get two to cover over there on the third goal? And it's because of the quick pass and quick switch from Andres Cubas. And you can't just overcommit people right away. Anytime they can, if they're in their low block or medium block, they're going to have two players go over to Ali Ahmed. That happens absolutely every time, I think, from the start of the season. But if it is a quick switch, he'll try to take advantage as quickly as possible because it will be 1v1 for a moment at least.
Who's got the most to gain from this match from a Vancouver Whitecaps perspective? Is it Ali? He's getting notoriety now for the first time, really. Mm-hmm. People are appreciating just what he can do.
Yeah. I'd say so. Another great question. Yeah, that's how I buy myself the extra seconds. Probably is Ali, because he's been a player that has been rumored to move. And I think that those rumors are coming up again, especially
at the disco, listening to YMCA, rumored to move.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes.
You know, there's and Vanni Sartini talked about this as well, where he had mentioned that Ali Ahmed could be playing in one of the top four leagues. Like, he's that good. He's that dynamic, and we're seeing it once again. And now the final touch is coming together as well through assists. And if he scores a goal, maybe two, because he gets in those areas, if he's able to put a couple over the line, yeah, his price and interest goes up, obviously. So probably right. But at the same time, as an individual, you don't want to look at it that way because this has worked out so well. The team has bought into this, like the ultimate goal, and that's winning the MLS Cup here, and they play off of each other so well. And Ali Ahmed's an example of that as well, the way he ricocheted that last goal off of Brian White. Like, they're all playing for each other, and I think that's what makes them so good. But a lot of players have a lot to gain from this one. I think Berhalter's another one. You guys have mm-hmm. had him on the show, and mm-hmm. we've seen his the interest in him is skyrocketed as well. And then across the back line, like Ralph Priester, how close is he to getting a call-up? You know, he's probably one of the best center backs in the league right now with the way he's orchestrating things out the back. So there's a lot of players who have increased their value in this season for the Vancouver Whitecaps.
How tall is Ralph Priester? He's not a big guy, is he?
I think he's listed 5'9", and I think he's 5'10".
Like, yes, that's what I thought.
I think he's bigger than people think he is.
But still, that's small for a center back.
Yes, but the game feels so different now. Well, if you're dealing with a Christian Benteke, for sure, he's smaller. But so
available,
much of the
by
game,
the way.
Yeah, that's right. Just topical. But so much of the game is played like on the ground, in possession, and he's elite at that. So you look at like your Thiago Silvas and other center backs that are like more ball playing, physical still, strong and fast. I think that he fits that bill. I think that he is that guy. And as long as he's kind of paired up with some size, I guess, as a center back partner, mm-hmm. I think he's really good for a lot of teams because of that.
Craig, goalkeeper's perspective on a short center back?
I got no problem with that. As opposed to a 6'6" center back and Messi running shadows around you. So
that's just it, right? When you get the really like the tall, big, and you're right, you have these small, dynamic players that are kind of like putting it on the carpet and dribbling around, and they get turned. That you don't have that with Priso, and he's able mm-hmm. to cover, and then even the long ball over the top. He's able to get back and track all that stuff down really quickly. Like, they rarely get into real trouble when Priso's out there because he's able to recover. I go back to the LAFC game. Danny Bwanga had one of these moments where we've seen LAFC against other teams. It's Bwanga and Son, and they're gone. And they're running past people, and it's a 2v3, and they dice them up. Priso tracks back, forces this awkward left-footed shot from the top of the box. It's not a highlight because it's such a soft shot. But I think against most other teams, it's a goal. But he's able to get goal side, force this uncomfortable shot. I think it's these little subtle things that Priso gives him that, is the reason why he's starting every week now for the Caps.
So two-part question, Asa. How much did you have to lobby to get down there?
A bit.
Okay.
I can do this. I can do that. Get me out there.
Yeah. All the social media, right? I'm doing everything. Number two is, I lost it in my laugh. I'm sorry. I don't have a number.
No, I'm sorry. I'm gonna make you laugh again.
It's really gone, isn't it? It's really,
yeah, just,
oh, God.
Sorry.
Can you think of what it would have been? What's one going to ask you?
I don't know. I'm kind of...
I haven't forgotten the second question.
JC's got Wonger's question.
I have a question. This is for everyone except for Asa and Wonger. Who's more excited about their trip, Asa or Wonger?
Oh, Wonger, for sure. I mean, Asa's beside himself, but Wonger's got some grand plans for Steve Chang.
Did you get new shoes, Wonger?
No. But Craig and I, look, we don't know what we're going to be up to. Craig can fill you in on a couple of the rumors, but Craig,
will you guys speak together, do you think? Or will they just like escort the legends off to the cool stuff and leave you scumbags somewhere else?
Well, this is it. I think I'm invited to some of these things. Some of these things I might not be. I'll just be like standing out the door going, I'm waiting for my
friend. Wonger's got his own hotel. He's only in a 5.5 star.
Yeah. It's a motel.
So what other cool stuff you're doing, Craig? Tell us about some of this stuff.
There's an event Thursday. There's also a potential. Well, there is at the embassy, Canadian embassy. There's a good chance that Mark Carney will be there on Friday after the draw. That's not confirmed yet that he'll be there, but We will be.
We're there. Yeah. We're going.
Yeah. We're going
to. And there might be a kick around. Too, right?
Pardon me?
Sorry, I imagine Jesse Marsh is there as well, right?
It's a press conference with Jesse Marsh and two Canadian players. So it'll be, but the other rumor was there might be a kick around.
Yeah.
Craig might be invited to it.
Tomorrow they want me to play in a pickup game, so I could end up coming back in a wheelchair.
So Wonger, you must take videos.
Do you have your boots still, Craig? Do you know where they are?
No.
Could be a problem.
Yeah.
Well, they ask me,
did you have turf shoes? I'm like, yeah, somewhere.
Do you have oven mitts?
I want to bring back to the Caps for a second. I want to talk to you about Brian White and what factor, what role you think he might play in this final. So he scores a brace versus San Diego, but Kubas does all the work. I mean, it's a team effort to get San Diego to turn over the ball, and then the counter press wins it, and then Kubas ends up coming in and just unselfishly passes it across the frame. He just has to tap it in. And then the one is all Ali. Is that the third goal, right? Yeah, because, well, Ali's involved in the second one. That's an own goal. And then the third one, he doesn't have to do a whole lot either. But, I mean, I think when you look at this Vancouver team, it's a really complete squad where you have everybody filling roles, ticking boxes, so that it makes them this powerhouse. But he might be the X factor. We've talked about a number of things. We were speaking to David Goss yesterday. He was talking about the wide play and how dynamic it is and how impressive it is in Sabby and in Ali and how he thought that might be the X factor. Do you think Brian White is the X factor for the Whitecaps?
How many X factors can you have? Because
I don't know.
I completely agree. I feel like the Caps have all of them, but he's one of them as well. Because both of those goals, they're such Brian White goals, and they look like tap-ins. Right. But I think that's the job of the striker, right? So often these situations would go unnoticed. Like, first one, for example, like Kubas is in that situation. If Brian White doesn't make that run, Kubas is forced to take a shot. Maybe he misses, or it's a good save. And then that's the highlight. It's Kubas in this situation. Maybe he could have scored. Maybe he wants someone else there. But because Brian White is anticipating, say, hey, if you find me at the back post, like I'll slide. I'll go over the line to get this over the line. And he does that. And it's the same one with the Ali Ahmed one. Like other players, maybe you're admiring the moves of Ali Ahmed. Brian White is like there on the line, ricochet this off me, and we got a goal. And he does, right?
Like, you knew what Wonger called it?
What would Wonger call it?
The nippler.
The nippler, exactly. No, I have to use that. No.
please don't.
That'd be amazing.
But I think that's what Brian White gives his team, because if he's not there in those moments, these aren't goals.
Right.
And that's why he's the leading scorer for the Whitecaps in the MLS era, because he's always popping up and finding a way to get the ball over the line.
So what's your, I hate to go predictions, right? But you think Vancouver can do this? It's going to be goals scored. So if you're laying some money down, both teams to score and the Vancouver win?
Yeah, I think that sums it up. I think that's right. I think that's how it'll play out. The first goal, as cliche as it is, like so important, obviously, in a game like this. I could see a situation where the Whitecaps go there and really frustrate Miami because they'll keep the ball. Kubas, you know, he had Messi in his pocket the last time. I think that's still a storyline. I know Miami's going to look at all the great things that they've done in these playoffs, but I think it's different when you're dealing with Kubas and Berhalter. So I see the Whitecaps winning this game. And I could see them winning by multiple goals as well. But there will be goals in this game, that's for sure. Looking at what Miami has defensively, I think that Ali, Sabi, Muller, Brian White, it's a problem for them in the back four. So if the Caps have the ball, they should be able to penetrate and put their chances away.
I put $5 on Dubs. Just Berhalter assist, White goal, and Vancouver win. It's plus 2,000.
Oh.
Ooh.
I know. Isn't that tempting? It's crazy.
That's on your dollar bet.
I don't bet.
$5 down, Jimmy. $5.
What's the payoff?
I think $100 or something. $100 and whatever it is.
Yeah. Well, there you are.
Same as what the Village people got.
I think they paid to get on there.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. I was going to ask you, Asa, it's a bit of, it's not philosophical, but it's like maybe a save for after the final, like a postmortem of in your impressions of the entirety of the year. I think this Whitecaps team is perennially underrated when you look at MLS pundits and the people who follow the game. Like they don't really look at the Canadian MLS franchises, but they're seen as like finishing well out of the playoffs. But at the same time, even if they're discounted by the rest of the people before the season kicks off, you look at this team and the arc that they've been on and how the pendulum has swung. Like Sartini's gone at the beginning of the year. You lose one of your DPs in Stuart Armstrong. Mm-hmm. The ownership puts the franchise up for sale. And then like final of the CONCACAF champions, we know that they've been one of the best teams in MLS all year. But here we are, however many months later, and they're in the MLS Cup final. Like, it's a pretty unbelievable arc that they've been on this season. So what has it been like for you? I know that you're not within the organization, but you're so close to it. What has that ride been like for you?
Oh, it's been wild. It's been awesome. And I've almost, I think, enjoyed the fact that they haven't gotten the attention that you might expect from a team that's dominated the way they have. Because we see it. And I think I also understand why they maybe don't get the notoriety that some other teams would, because they, before Thomas Muller, they didn't have the big name. Even Ryan Gauld was kind of regarded the working class or working man's DP. Like mm-hmm. that's the type of player he is. Andres Cubas, like I don't think that he gets the credit that he deserves. Yohei Takaoka is not this big shot stopper. Like right across the board, it's all these players that you don't expect to be. They're not big names, and you don't expect them to be like on the All-Star team at the end of the season, but they are because of the way they performed this season. So, yeah, that's why.
I can also hear something scratching. Who's got something scratching against them? Anybody?
I don't know.
I've got an itch to scratch, but I haven't.
Oh, I got a rash.
But yeah, I mean, it's almost over for you, Asa. This mm-hmm. season, hopefully not beyond. You're not going anywhere. But I mean, it is fun, isn't it, to cover a winning team? I mean, you cover some bad Whitecaps teams as well. We've all covered bad teams. But it's just, there's a vibe. It's just so much fun. It's fun going to training as a member of the media, let alone being a player. I mean, I can't talk about that. But just this is that everyone's smiling and happy to talk to you. Mm-hmm. Enjoy it is my point, because it doesn't last forever.
No, that's beautiful.
Tyler's going nuts. I wish I could say anything, but I'm going to stay muted.
Right?
Oh, I remember what my second question was going to be, but it was about...
Very good.
Here we go.
I know.
It was about, is there a bit of a jinx going on? And I hate bringing this up, only because I just watched like three interviews, MLS, Apple People, and The Athletic, all coming on and talking about how well-rounded, how great, what a season that the Vancouver Whitecaps had. And I'm just sitting here waiting for, and maybe this is a Canadian thing, where we're waiting for that other shoe to drop, where we're like, okay, this is the Vancouver we always thought was going to happen. And they're going to get like, it'll be a 3-0 loss. Am I worrying too much? Is Vancouver?
I hear what you're saying. It does feel like this is why we can't have nice things.
Yes.
Because we're in this situation now where, we've been seeing this team and enjoying the ride and so happy that we're here. And now the fact that they are getting the recognition a little bit from different people. Bradley Ray Phillips, I think he's been waving the flag from the start of the season a little bit as well. So it's been great to hear him talk about it. But everyone else kind of coming over. I think it's just a situation now where there's nowhere else to turn. There's no other team to hype. You can't talk about Philadelphia finishing first or San Diego and what they've done as an expansion team. Like, here we are. It is the Whitecaps in Miami, and you're forced to watch what the Whitecaps have done this season. You're forced to see what Jesper Sorensen has done with this group, and that's why they're getting the recognition right now. So, I'm hoping it's not a jinx. It's just a fact of the matter now that you have to talk about the Vancouver Whitecaps. You're forced into it, and you're seeing how great this team has been all season long.
Speaking of jinxes, though, do you have anything that you do when you're calling games at home that's part of a routine that maybe you feel comfortable with and now it's going to be disrupted because you're traveling?
No, there's nothing. No, because yeah, having a family of four plus Kylo, it's always chaos. So as much as I want to have a routine, things are always thrown off. The girls have a game in the morning or there's a practice. So you have these little routines, but that gets changed all the time. So no, there's nothing that really I do in preparation that I'm stuck to. I mean, I'll be traveling with my navy blue suit that I wear on game days. So that doesn't get disruptive.
So see, you have a thing.
Yeah, but then you asked what would be disruptive because I'm leaving. And that won't be.
I like it though. Can we have a picture of said blue suit when you're prepping for the game? Sure. Okay. Because I did, look, I wore this deliberately today. I'm doing my best Jesper.
I love it.
Isn't it a Jesper sweater?
It is.
Yeah, it is.
It is actually his.
Jesper, shh.
Get back in your cage.
Yeah.
You know, there are a few things better in life, though, when you get to leave the family for a weekend.
Mm.
You know, funny line. Like, not commenting. You're laying that
hotel. It's true.
No one's yammering in again. No, it's like, oh God, this is good.
Mm-hmm. Don't need to feed
quite
the
fam. You got quite the family life, Sharms. People yammering at you. Is that what happens?
Oh, you know, don't pretend that you don't enjoy a night in a hotel every now and again by yourself. Oh, it's glorious. Oh,
it's a Jackson Pollock.
Oh, come on.
Pacers Radio.
Asa's going to get that call saying, Asa, the game ended last week. Where are you?
Got a lot of overtime. Still penalties.
Game celebrations.
She drank some snake blood from a salesman on the sidewalk and lost a week. Well, listen, enjoy yourself, Asa. It's the last time we'll speak to you before the match.
Yeah.
We'll speak to you next week. Well, hopefully, talk about a famous win.
Yeah.
You guys want to call in and do something,
I'll do some hit or something from Miami.
And collaborate or something. Yeah.
Tomorrow we're shooting in the morning and we've got Dax McCarty on.
Nice.
Friday, we're thinking me and Dubs might be doing a post World Cup draw. Sorry, a post FIFA draw. Sorry, a post FIFA pod.
just post FIFA. At some point,
so we could maybe grab you then.
Let's do it. Yeah, let me know.
Some thoughts on Canada as well.
Yeah, can't wait for that.
That's not confirmed yet, right, Dubs? We've got to figure our lives out.
Yep.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
All right, but if we don't speak to you, enjoy yourself.
Thank you.
Take it in, you know, drink in the moment. Hopefully we see, people saying, oh, but Messi does not lose these games. Yeah, he does. He has. He's lost the World Cup final before.
He's quit. Remember he quit Copa?
Yeah.
In like 2015, 2016, he said, I'll never play in this again. I think against Chile in penalties. He did quit for not a season, but just said he would.
Be careful, though, by the way, Asa. Anything seemingly derogatory towards Lionel Messi, and you'll hear from it. You'll hear from the fan base.
Or ICE. You better have your passport on you at all times, my brown friend.
Good looking out, Wonger.
You and me, buddy. Good luck to you both and me.
Yeah, good luck to Wonger because he'll need it a lot more than Asa, I think. For some
That's
reason.
Right.
Your FBI screening is what, 6 p.m. tonight? The FBI screaming?
Can't wait. Rubber glove.
That's the second Freudian slip. You called it an FBI screaming the other day as well.
Really?
Yeah.
It's more of a CIA screaming, isn't it, with the old waterboarding and stuff. But it's more of a gurgling, though, isn't it, than screaming. anyway, that's it. Anything else you want to get to, anyone?
Nope.
No, looking forward to it. All right. It's a good week. Good week for Canadian soccer.
Amazing. Yeah. All right, so next time, everyone, cheers very much for listening. Bye-bye.
Check us out on YouTube at youtube.com/footyprime and subscribe. Leave us some comments. We'd love to hear those. And check us out on Instagram at footyprimeig and on Twitter at footy_prime. And check out wearefootyprime.com. Sign up for our newsletter if we ever make one.
Subscribe, comment, like, please.
Remember your share.
Yes.
Wow. You have to do all those things.
Yeah.
Thanks, Asa. Always appreciate you.